This is the Blockchain Billions podcast with your host, Henrik de Geer.
I'm Henrik de Geer. Today I'm speaking with Jason Dispenza. Jason, how are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks, Henrik.
Jason, who are you and what do you do?
So I have 15 years of experience running an energy services company based basically next to Washington, D.C. We operate across five states and serving largely in a CFO and CEO capacity during that time. And we've grown into services for renewable energy systems and design and efficiency solutioning for businesses and homes and buildings of all sizes. And it was that work that led me towards creating a foundation in 2014 called E2F2.us, Energy Efficient Futures Foundations, which is a 501c3 company based in Virginia to try and protect data rights. You know, it was a fairly fuzzy initial objective, but we started focusing that more specifically on, you know, the home energy audit and the data that, you know, I was so familiar with collecting. And, you know, since I started this in DC, my proximity to federal agencies, the DOE and the EPA and all the special districting that had been happening around the U.S. for rebate centers and utility programs to try and encourage these to credits and rebates. This work led me towards realizing that we needed an interoperability, you know, data storage model. And blockchain emerged, you know, as a very powerful solution for that. One that would both allow us to track this, you know, as a registry in a really transparent way. But then second, as a shared data set, which we could have a lot of automated function or group computing or group participation of the different market players towards verifying data, you know, like rebates or that a system was installed correctly, or if it's a smart meter or an Internet of Thing that something is actually happening that might be an event. Or correspond to an event that is worth money to somebody. So when your car is plugged in at work and the grid needs to balance itself, it can pay your car or it can pay you as the owner of that asset for some of your car's battery energy to be used for the grid at that moment. You know, and then a myriad of other credits. So there was research there that led us to the Department of Energy in 2015 and 2016. We've been working with the EERE office as well as the Advanced Research Project Office. And we've been sharing our research with them on what a federated blockchain zone would look like for the home performance industry. And E2F2 is also looking at other, you know, energy types of policies and trying to create some regulatory tailwind behind a few carbon farming and other initiatives. And then finally, Souls.io, Social Online Liquidity Engine Systems, to unpack that acronym, is a recently founded company in May of 2016, and have two co-founders, Ryan Malecki out of Denver and Christina Garcia out of New York. And we are looking at blockchain interoperability and providing some tools that might connect different sectors of our research. And we're doing some consulting and blockchain design and architecture services for firms in the healthcare and the energy and the automotive industry right now are our first three contracts. We've been doing some smart contract work there to unpackage data into blockchains and then, you know, execute some simple smart contract with demonstrations. And that's pretty much where we are up until the beginning of this call.
And just to unpack that some more, how are you involved with blockchain?
So we are involved with blockchain in as much as we are trying to map human process or use blockchain to assemble good data sets to allow human interaction and things, Internet of Things data, that once that data point is the summation answer of an algorithm that verifies an action or a social benefit has been recorded or has been achieved. We're using blockchain to, you know, create a transparent data set that shows the chain of events that has happened. And then furthermore, we want to have the interoperability that blockchain allows, which is to have partners and to have individuals interact with it openly and transparently.
And Jason, what are the biggest successes and challenges with blockchain?
Well, the challenges today, as far as what I've seen nationwide, is, you know, there's a lot of, you know, new apps coming out. A lot of people are vying for some light to be shined on their cause or their initiative or their solution. And many are perhaps too small or too unfocused in their rollouts. So the industry itself right now is still trying to figure out what it is and how it is going to grow. And the government hasn't begun to really understand what blockchain is and how blockchain is different from Bitcoin. And there's just some phrenology that needs to happen to better educate everybody on what is what and what things are not. You know, what are the limitations of blockchain? And, you know, there's very many folks out there at these conferences that will yell, you know, things like, why do you need a blockchain for that? You know, there's, you know, blockchain's a new data model. You know, its successes are, you know, and, you know, are that it allows a large scale, ubiquitous and transparent access, you know, and that is a new way, you know, of solving social problems that need to involve new connections between people or entities or devices that are currently stovepiped or firewalled or not connectable. So there needs to be a new medium that's created. And I see that blockchain in general, you know, is going to be able to provide that vacuum, you know, fill the vacuum that exists between humans. You know, it's going to be what allows us to connect to anything anywhere, is, you know, in much different ways than the internet allowed us to connect to people. This is allowing all devices, you know, all benefit deployment, all good intentions, you know, if you want to drive them to be connectable. And our work at E2F2, the nonprofit, you know, again, was sort of starting with this intention, you know, of finding ways to proliferate social change. So how do you fix inequality or injustice, or how do you rebalance, you know, some industries that have a surplus of billions of dollars in cash where other industries are starved for it? Even though, you know, there's scientific papers that show that these two industries are connected. One interesting example is, you know, healthcare insurance connected to dirty work in your attic or your crawl space, you know, sealing it up and making it insulated and finding ways to make your duct system for your air conditioning or heating system cleaner and more tight so allergens and pollution doesn't leak into it, and installing water filters or air purifiers that make the air and the water cleaner in a home. When you're doing this work, you're making the environment in which people live, you know, or sleep for a third of their life more healthy. And if you add that up for the number of occupants that are there and you times that out by the useful lifespan of a house, which is 75 to 200 years, that house is playing an important role in the public health. So what is the cost of installing a water filter that's going to give clean water to a family for 50 years? And this isn't a question that's anything new for emerging markets of around the world. We've assumed that our U.S. drinking water is clean, and by and large, it is not. It is not well purified, the really molecular standard. So, you know, if there was a connection, if there were rebates, if there was transparent data, if there wasn't this fractured 2,000 individual stovepiped rebate programs across the U.S., then big financial markets could participate easily. There could be easy redemption for rebates to do targeted things like that, or anything in a home. Ethereum, that's not so much textbook answer, but buzzword answer. Ethereum is a big success in blockchain. I mean, they kind of showed what smart contracts can do. You know, Bitcoin's obviously one of the most interoperable currencies and going to remain so for a long time. Try to stay out of some of the specific debates, you know, within Bitcoin on where it should go. I mean, it's a very important technology, but you know, whether it gets faster, whether it gets larger blocks is somewhat immaterial to how the applications are going to be run behind it.
In your point of view, what will blockchain augment, change, or replace?
This is where I like to sometimes give a spacey answer versus a real world answer, but there is such a depth of math that exists between two points of matter. The difference between you and the dog sitting next to you in terms of distance, but you know, of things that are at 10 to the minus 14th scale or 10 to the minus 33rd scale, you know, the distance between me and my dog is a meter or two, you know, 10 to the 1, 10 to the 2, you know, scale. What exists between that and how divisible is it? So the depth of space, the amount of information that exists in our quantum vacuum, or that might exist, if you look at space, the air between me and my dog, the same as you're looking at the matter in me or my dog, at 10 to the minus 33 scale, we all look the same. We're all, you know, 10 to the 14th smaller than an electron. You know, that's the size of a wave of, you know, a light wave, you know, a single photon's length. You know. So at that scale, it's very information based. And I see that's how blockchain operates from the ground up. I see a very much vacuum filling attribute to blockchain. It's going to allow computing and technology and devices and process that we're so used to spending our day lives commuting and jobbing and toiling over, that, you know, blockchain is going to emerge behind us as humans in this incredibly enabling kind of way. It's going to fill that vacuum. It is the vacuum. It is the space between all of us. And while it might remain a frothy, you know, ocean of different little universe bubbles, blockchain bubbles, for a while, it will become highly interoperable quickly. You know, this is where we are on a singularity curve with machines helping us make machines better. And it will arrive quickly, I think. You know, I think we're looking at a 5 to 15 year, you know, total inversion of how computing really happens and how we run our democracies, even because of the amount of social change that will arrive and need to accompany blockchain adoption.
Jason, how will people make money with blockchain?
So again, we're in this app-based environment right now. People are making money with blockchain through accessing different micro chains, side chains, you know, little private chains. They frequently talk about the layer cake of blockchains, you know, which is just, you know, private at the bottom, with public at the top, and in between you've got private, and then, you know, more of a, you know, commercial, you know, sort of a reason to have a semi-private commercial blockchain versus several commercial entities syndicated together. The syndicated chain, which is what's probably going to happen in the healthcare industry first, versus a federated blockchain level, versus a totally public blockchain. So depending on what kind of blockchains are being put out there to accomplish different realms of our humanity, you know, people are going to make money on blockchain by either consulting on it or architecting blockchain, you know, implementations for clients, or, you know, making different blockchains interoperable, or doing large scale implementations, you know, on government contracting levels to help bring these 2000 special district, you know, is mainly my number for the energy and utility sector. But, you know, really there's that many, close to that many special districts for almost every industry. Like, it's a very difficult roll up if you're looking at financing and activity, you know, in more than one tiny zone, regardless of what the activity is. as I was saying, there's lots of opportunity to make money in helping the government roll out initiatives or helping commercial entities figure out what blockchain is or to start leading with demonstrations and implementations of part of their existing data model. And once those are being done, then a year after that, you know, you're going to start seeing some interoperability happen. Yeah, there's a few companies that have built some blocks. There's Legos and there's Duplos and there's stone blocks and there's wood blocks. You know, that's the Tendermint and the V shape and the Ethereum and anyone that's out there building blocks. Everyone else is just toddlers. We're just tossing blocks around. No one's even, you know, really built a whole structure yet. You know, Bitcoin is not the same as what we're talking about when you're starting to talk about blockchain applications or smart contract applications to replace business process or government process. They might be fueled by Bitcoin. You know, they might be made, you know, to gas up that initiative, you know, within that social, you know, climate at that public or that private or that syndicate or that federal layer. You know, if you're working in a zone there, like what's driving participation? Credits, you know, proof of work or proof of stake of a data asset if you have something.
What advice do you have for those interested in blockchain?
I would try and own some Bitcoin. It doesn't have to be a large number. That's an important skill set for the beginner. And then as you gain intermediate proficiency to start understanding the business model of the different companies out there, they all sound the same. However, some are building blocks. Some are using the blocks of others to do things. Some, you know, are doing more than just block building. You know, you've got the Hyperledger project that's, you know, starting to, you know, it has its own blocks, but it also has a framework, you know, it's got templates of sorts. It's emergence of a platform. And then some are already at the platform level that are beginning to have developers on their platform, you know, provide services. So understanding what the web of companies looks like is important. And then more for intermediate and advanced intermediate is to start comprehending what a virtual private internet is and what the internet of money means in terms of how the financial sector thinks about the internet of money versus how privacy hawks think about it. But, you know, a virtual private internet compared to other, you know, computing technology is an important concept. And then for the advanced thinker, I'd like to leave with something heady again, which is where's the overlap between quantum mechanics and biology? And when I was describing some of that space, the quantum vacuum between physical matter, you know, how does that relate to what we're doing here with blockchain? When you set up the rules for an empty data universe, you're like, hey, this thing's empty. I just programmed 38 rules into it, or I just programmed 3,800 rules into it. Doesn't matter. It's still empty. You just programmed a bunch of rules into it. And then you say, all right, everybody, go forth and enter data into my blockchain. What have you done? You've created a new universe in very weird regards, but it's assembling, self-assembling, and it's visible at every layer. How much different is that from our real reality? I do question sometimes. But it's perhaps a discussion for another time.
Well, thanks, Jason.
It's exciting technology evolving quickly. The technology and the singularity curve is here, along with, you know, a lot of engaged and really motivated people. You know, a lot of them are younger, although, you know, the average age at these conferences really does span the gamut, you know, from old to young. But I've seen and I've felt the unrest of the millennials and Generation Z to get things going faster. And I'm hoping and thinking that this might be a technology that is, and it was destined for us, you know, to make this change. So even if you're not involved, just to stay, you know, at least aware.
Great. Well, thanks.
For more on this, visit blockchainbillionspodcast.com. Be sure to subscribe, rate, and review. And for a book about this, check out blockchainbillionsbook.com. Thanks for listening.